start with the session, I'd like to introduce you to our next speaker. He is Fernando Angulo. He is the head of communications at Semrush, and he's going to talk about how to create content for people and content for Google. Over to you, Fernando.
Hi, thank you very much. Happy to be here today. Hello, everyone from the Czech Republic. I'm here in Prague. So let's start talking about content, content for people and content for Google. And let me share my screen right now. I believe you are seeing right now my screen in full screen.
Yes, we can see it.
Perfect. So first of all, let me start with a survey that we held this year with several companies to understand what is happening in the content marketing industry. As you can see here, we found out that we researched 1,000 companies, and we found out that 77% of them, they have a content marketing strategy, but only 48% of them, they were able to describe it. So maybe they're using it, maybe they're not, right? In this case, we also ask how much money they are spending on their content marketing budget. As you can see here, the majority of them are spending less than $10,000 per year. So that's going to be the average, $10,000 per year in content marketing. 78% of companies, they have one or three members in their teams. So at least they have a copywriter, a blog editor. And let's talk about goals. So what are the goals of content marketing? So the main goal for this year is the content should generate more quality leads. As you can see, it's the first place. Then you can see that the top five content marketing strategies, challenges for this year is create the content that will generate leads. So the goal goes with the challenge, right? So content creation supports a lot what is generating more qualified leads. And of course, what are the main metrics that companies are using? First one is organic traffic, then you have leads, then you have sessions, page views, etc. So organic traffic is still by far the number one source of traffic for content marketing. Then the most efficient content marketing tactics is of course using, first of all, search engine optimization, SEO, then the actual content, and creating more video or visual content. So we have these three main tactics that are being implemented this year. What about content distribution? Because we have this rule that is the Pareto rule, 20% of your time you are creating content, 80% time you are promoting or distributing that content, right? So what are the main channels? The main channels are social media, still by far the number one, 94% of companies are using social media channel for such purpose. Then we have email marketing, then paid advertising. What else? Type of content that companies are producing. Blog posts, email, infographics are the top three. So blog posts are still by far the number one type of content that companies are producing. Why is that? Because it is working. It's something that it really works and can help you find more and more users. So these are all the types of content that mainly the companies are using. You can see it's not only about text, it's about audio, video, visual images, interactive images. But what about the content marketing strategy for this year, right? So let's see. The main source of traffic for e-commerce websites globally is, of course, search. Then you can see it's direct traffic. Then you can see social media is just growing up. Then for most of the industry blogs, I'm not talking about freelancers blogs, but these are industry corporate blogs. The main source still is search. And then we can by far research, and then you can see that is direct traffic. So what we can do with all this information? So we need to think about two main situations. Consumers are searching for more conversations. They are thriving for more conversations, and they want to have educated choices without intrusive ads, without which they don't trust. So they want to have the answers for their questions. That's why companies like, for example, Citizens Bank, they measure brand impact. They are not measuring organic traffic. They want to gain more and more feature snippets. You can see that they reach out at least for the last 2 years, 587 feature snippets. This is another company that actually this is an Indian company. I really love this one because the name is Bank Bazaar, and they gain 12,000 feature snippets, which is fantastic. It's amazing. The format of their content, the structure of the content is really good. So going for brand impact is something that you can still be using for the next couple of years. Why is that? Because most of these questions, what is, how to use, where is, are questions that most of the companies, they are not using that inside of the content. And of course, you need to use paragraphs, lists, and tables, answering all those three basic questions. But you can do the example, go to Google, type what is the name of your brand and the name of your product, and just take a look if you already have a featured snippet as main result. I wrote brilliant content that is original, but nobody seems to want to read it. Why is that? Because the format of the content is not the right one, and the main capability, the main ability of your content is to find and attract people, right? So let's think about this workflow. Keyword research, content creation, think about the navigation, how is the look and feel for your users, and add some schema markups for reviewing those pieces of content, and to find the right store, if you have a local business, try to use the local pack as well there. And of course, the growth for the traffic, the growth for the users, qualified users, is going to be just higher and higher. But you need to measure that as well. So the anatomy of the perfect content is like you can see here. For users, catchy title, images and text, social media buttons to share that content, call to actions to make users do something in your page, and feedback capability to enable more conversations. For search engines, keywords and article relevance to search queries, interlinking that with relevant sources. Tagging is really important, interlinking, hyperlinking, and social signals as well. So thinking about users, thinking about search engines. And if you want to learn about a search award workflow, as you can see, you have this workflow that we are using inside of SEMrush. Analyzing the content, analyzing what is happening around us, planning the content, writing the content, then measuring what is happening with that content, what are the results. If you are not doing that, you cannot escalate the process, and then you go and maximize those contents that you are creating. So all the tools are listed here, so you can just use this workflow and start working for your content. This is my favorite one. You can think about any topic and then check that content in topic research, for example, then go to a live editor like SEO content template, understanding what are the structure, what are the right keywords, and then go to SEO writing assistant to write that content with the help of the knowledge of the databases, for example. What, how many words you need to write over there? So basically, for the majority of the industries are 810 words. That's the average for every industry. You don't need to write less than that. Okay, and during my last 30 seconds, let me tell you about the signals that you need to have in order to be on the top performers content. So the length of the content is really good, but the format, the list, the questions, how to, all those parameters are really important for doing this. So don't forget about the structure, the reading distribution for, the reading timing distribution is 3 minutes on average. So don't write big walls of content. Just be sure that you have the right images, videos, infographics over there to promote that. The readability score, basically, all the content that you are promoting needs to be in a plain language, easy to understand for everyone, even for an average 15-year-old kid, so they can be ready to understand that. And of course, the content for people is the content that you want to achieve for Google as well. So there is no basically main difference between content for Google and content for people. We want to achieve the same thing. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks Fernando so much for taking us through the presentation. And actually what you were saying is the content for people is also would be the content for Google is what our first question is, that there is a concept that, you know, the content that people have, like we write for people, helps Google to rank them better. Do you agree with it? And what are your insights on that?
Oh yes, definitely. Because when I'm reading something, for example, in my mobile device, I will see that, okay, I have some list here, I have some bullets, I have something that I can remember. So I really like that type of format for the content because it's easy for me to consume it. But if it's only a plain wall of text. It's just too many words, difficult to understand. No separations between paragraphs. It's really hard to read, and I'm going to skip it. I have my ebook reader to read books, but that's another story, right? Mm-hmm. I want to read something that is going to be immediately. And that's something that Google really appreciates with the really formatted content that people can consume easily.
Right. So the next question that we have is how to create content which Google will love. Please help us in specifying the exact tune-up which we have to do with the content.
Oh, perfect. I really love that question. So for formatting the content that Google really will love and you can see some results, need to tell you that there are three types of formats right now that are working really well for most of the companies. I have several projects that I'm implementing that as well. The first type of content that you need to create is the question and answers content. So all the questions around your product, your services that your users are asking online, you need to fill out that with answers with certain type of format. The first format are paragraphs. Don't use more than 160 words or the maximum is 200 words per paragraph. Then use list, order it, or an ordered list for answering those questions. So for example, how to boil an egg. How many steps you can do, you can write for answering that content. Okay, just two steps? No, you need to be more creative and use the average number, which is 8 steps. So for list, use more than eight steps. And the last type of content for formatting is the tables. So you have paragraph with at least 200 words. You have list with an average of 8 elements and tables, which are 3 rows as a maximum, and you can have a lot of columns. So that number will not be that important. You just need to have those three types of formats: paragraph, list, and tables. That's the content that is winning right now. Why? Because you can have the possibility to have or a feature snippet or a people also as result. So
amazing. So the next one that we have is, what do you think about the major core update on as per May 2020, and how do you think it would affect the content on Google?
Well, that's an interesting question. But if we think about not the last year, the last 5 years, all the major updates that Google introduced on its algorithm are related to quality of the content. Hmm. So all the changes that Google was doing are related to the quality of the content. The latest update that we saw, for example, at the beginning of this year with the feature snippet enabling when you're clicking on a feature snippet result, you can be send it to the main source, and that source is going to be underlined with the content of that feature snippet. That's fantastic, because before that we have that change when if you have a feature snippet, you cannot have the same result in the same page. Google was sending you to the second page or to the third page in some cases. That was horrible. Right now you have the chance to have the feature snippet, someone is clicking there, they're going to be sending you immediately to your page, and it's going to be underlined. Another interesting thing, I will not say that this is an update on the algorithm, but this is a tip or trick that you can do. Many times when you have a feature snippet at the beginning, you have also the people also as result. So you have the whole first page of the results already completed by these two results. So if you have the feature snippet, you can also have the people also as result, but just continuing the logic of the first question. So how to boil an egg, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. So how to do scrambled eggs, right? How to prepare, something related. So if you are prolonging that logic, you can still have the people also as result. And the good moment here is you don't need to do much efforts for the people also as a result. It's the same format as the feature snippets.
Got it. So the next one is very interesting, actually. So they want to just go to the straight to the point is, how do you capture and write content that your buyer persona reads, feels satisfied, and contacts you?
Oh, yes. That's the main pain for every copywriter. Yes. So for doing this, you need to create your personas. You need to create, you need to differentiate them by interest, of course, by pains, and you need to create content, not for each of them, but you need to create those groups. For example, this is Fernando, 35 years old, working in Europe. This is Maria from UK, 40 years old. So you need to group those types of peoples, just having in mind what are their main interests, what is the best content that it suits them, doing A/B testings with them, creating focus groups, or the most basic ones, check out who is the main reader in your Google Analytics. You have all the information in your Google Analytics about who is reading your content, how many times they are spending reading your content, where are they based, where they are. If you are promoting something in social media, you can have even more details. With Twitter Analytics, with Facebook Analytics, you can have all that information. So understanding who is your reader, who is your user, is the first point to say, okay, that's the kind of content that they need. For us, for example, the type of content that we find out for us is the how-to content, it's guide, because we are promoting services that are kind of complicated at some point, so people, they need guidance, so we are creating guides for them. Find out what is the content that your users are consuming today.
Understood. Then another question that we have is pretty interesting again. How do you define whether something is a good quality content or a bad quality content? Is it subjective, or are there some markers that we can take into consideration?
Well, it's different because we have a perception. Actually, is the ETA that Google is promoting. Nobody knows what is that exactly, but let me tell you this. Just a moment. In my personal opinion, the quality of the content can be completely different as it is for you. And content marketers are thriving a lot with that because they have different opinions on all of that. So for EAT that Google is promoting, the first moment is expertise. So your content needs to have a lot of research, a lot of information, a lot of sources. Then you have the second one, which is A, which is authoritativeness. What is that? Maybe you need to be relating, interlinking several important sources like government, universities, whatever. Then you have trustworthiness. So EAT is something that Google is promoting a lot. And we think that that's the key for the quality of the content. So expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
Understood. And we have an additional question on the same, actually. So your comments on EAT, which we just covered, and how do we improve these variables in our content?
Well, implementing that, that message is something that most of the experts are working around right now. With our copywriters, for example, inside of Semrush, we are trying to do every piece of content with a certain structure. The first one is in the first paragraph, we are applying the purpose of the content. So what is the goal that you're reading that content? The second paragraph, then you have all the words, then you have the images. The second paragraph is a study with resources, with information, and with a lot of questions. So that's going to be the second part of the structure. The third part is going to be enabling a discussion. So why this is important for you? Why is this important in 2020? Why this is important for this industry? So we are enabling a conversation in the third part. So if you can follow such a structure, just having the goal, creating the data sources for all the content, and then pushing more the conversation inside of a piece of content, you already have a winning piece of content there.
Right. So there's another question. I think this will take as the last question is, what are the tools that you use to optimize your content, and let us know how you choose them and why you choose them?
Oh, yes. I'm a little bit biased here, but Not that much. I was using for several years one tool that is called Answer the Public, just to understand what are the topics that I can write about. But we figured it out that, okay, in SEMrush, we have the Keyword Magic tool, which enables you to understand what is the volume. So what is the interest of the people who are searching for that? And we created something similar, but more powerful, that is called Topic Research Tool, where you can find all the topics around one high topic. And in this case, you can have a keyword there. Then you can have several cluster of topics, and you can have all the questions already there. So the easiest way that you can find information is going to be helping you the topic research tool, or you can go to Answer the Public as well to check what are the related content. The main pain for a content creator are the topics. What is right now important? What is right now trending, right? For doing that, we also have different tools that are telling you what is trending right now. If you want to write something about, let's say, digital marketing, what people are talking about digital marketing these days. So basically in May, it was online education, right? Mm. In February, it was Facebook ads, social ads. This month is something different. So you need data in order to understand what is trending right now and what people are going to be reading, just not create content because of the sake of creating content.
That makes sense. Thanks, Fernando. I think the other questions I'll be sending you offline because we have the next session in line. And thank you so much for joining us today and for an amazing presentation.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.